Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Minor Hawk, your voice of the gospel speaker, and once again I thank God for this privilege I have of telling forth the wonderful story of redeeming love. Yes, I'm here today with the Word of God in my hand, and I seek to exalt no one but the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinful men and women, boys and girls. Now, friends, perhaps there's someone listening in today, and you've heard this program before. And perhaps you're wondering what church or denomination I'm connected with. Some may even be wondering if I'm starting to start a new religion, or I'm a member of a cult. Well, friend, I'm only a sinner saved by the grace of God alone, and I'm no better than anyone who's listening in today. All that I am, in fact, all that I ever hope to be, I claim through faith in the blood of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, very briefly, here's what I believe. And friends, I believe these things with all my heart. I believe that Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God. I believe that He came from heaven. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and He was born of the Virgin called Mary, and lived a sinless life while here on earth. I believe that nearly 2,000 years ago, He died on the old rugged cross for my sin, and for your sin too. I believe that He was buried. And 3 days later, He rose from amongst the dead and now sits at the right hand of His Father God. I believe that this book which I hold in my hand is without question or reservation the divinely inspired Word of God. And for that reason, I make absolutely no apology for the Bible. I believe every word in the book from Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 22. I believe in the priesthood of all true believers in Christ. I believe in the Lordship of God's Son. I also believe that Christians should be gathered for worship, praise, and ministry of the Word unto the name and person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, according to what He declares in Matthew 18 and verse 20. You recall where He said, "For where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them." I also believe in water baptism by total immersion for those who are saved or born again. I believe in remembering the Lord's death by partaking of the bread and the cup every Lord's day. I believe in the existence of a literal heaven again, as well as in the existence of a literal hell to shun. And I believe in redeeming the time by preaching the gospel, because surely the coming of the Lord is very near. Yes, I believe that the next great event on the prophetic calendar of God is the second coming of Christ, which could be today. Friend, there need be not one prophecy fulfilled before the Lord Jesus Christ comes again to claim from the world His own. Now, of course, there are some other things that I believe in very much, but this will give you some idea of the scriptural truths that I hold dear. Now, perhaps there's someone listening in today and you're thinking, why, I believe these things too, and I would just love to go to a church that believes that way. Well, listen, friend, you can. Yes, you can. If you want to know where there is a group in your area which believes what I've just stated and where the gospel is preached without fear or favor of man, just like I preach it, then you write to me and I'll tell you where that church is located in your area. Just send me your name. Yes, send me your name and address, and just tell me where you're located, and I'll send you, my friend, the location of a scripturally based New Testament church located in your area. Now, my address is the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. So if you'd like to go to a church which believes the things that I've just stated here today, you just send me your name and address, and I'll give you the location of a scripturally based New Testament church located in your area. My address, again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. Now let's listen to a lovely tune today. It's one of my favorites, and it's entitled My Redeemer. Thank you.
artful treachery. Hurrying on to endless pain. My Redeemer, loved me as a branch on
God today for every one of us who can say of a truth that Jesus Christ is my Redeemer. You know, over in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, here's what we read. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Friend, the only way you're ever going to be redeemed by the blood of Christ is for you to acknowledge that you need it. You've got to first of all admit that God is telling the truth when He tells you that you're a sinner that can't do a thing to save your own soul. You know, Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19 that we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but rather with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So friend, don't try to pay or pray your way into God's heaven. No, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy that we're saved. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come into Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee for the great Redeemer that came to earth and died on the cross for our sin. We thank Thee for His precious blood, without which there could be no remission for sin. And we thank Thee, our God, that that blood is just as powerful today, nearly 2,000 years after it was shed at Calvary's cross. Thy word tells us the blood of Jesus Christ, Thy Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So, Father, we claim Thy promise that Thy word shall not return void. We ask Thy blessing upon Thy word and honor afresh Thy Son this day, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, before getting into the message today, we'll listen to another lovely tune, an old faithful that I'm sure is familiar to most of you listening in today, and it's entitled, Blessed Assurance.
Amen.
To direct your attention to a verse of Scripture as we find it in the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul is speaking and he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile." And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now, friends, today, and with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I'd like to analyze this scripture verse which we've just read together, Romans 1 and verse 16. There the Apostle Paul is writing to the churches at Rome, and he declares with all spiritual boldness, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile." Now, the first thing I want you to notice about this scripture are the first two phrases. Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." My, what a testimony. Here was Paul, formerly Saul of Tarsus, who had fervently and violently persecuted the followers of Christ. And now here he is declaring that he himself is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, friends, what was it that brought about this great change in the life of the man called Saul? Was it education or philosophy? Or perhaps it was Reformation. No, my friend. This man, Saul of Tarsus, was on the road to Damascus one day when he had an interview with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he was blinded by a light from heaven, and he fell to the ground and cried out from the depths of his contrite heart and soul, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Now, friend, let me ask you today, as you listen to this broadcast of the gospel, have you ever had a meeting with God or the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever stopped long enough to see your sinfulness in the sight of a holy God? And friend, tell me, have you ever acknowledged that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life? Are you saved? Are you born again by the Holy Spirit and Word of God? And friend, can you honestly look back to a time in your life's experience when you realized that you were a sinner on the broad road to hell? Then you repented of your sin and accepted God's Son as your Savior. Well, friend, if you've never been born again through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, then you're still on the road to a lost eternity, because Jesus Christ himself tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 3 that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, friend, before you can be a testimony for Jesus Christ, you have to know him. You have to accept him by faith alone as your own and personal Savior. Then you can witness for him. Then you can speak well of him. Then you can confess him as your Lord and Master. Yes, then you can say of a truth like the Apostle Paul, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now, friend, I want to make one fact quite clear at this time, and that is this. Simply because an individual reads his Bible, prays, joins a church, passes out tracts, sings in the choir, or even preaches the gospel, this does not necessarily mean that that person has been born again. Oh, no. Many former Bible readers are in hell today. many a church member, choir member, and so-called clergy are even now weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth in hell. Friend, religious activity and boldness do not give assurance of eternal life. Why, every day there are countless thousands of people who go from door to door and sell booklets on the street corners, and many of them believe that they have spiritual boldness. They believe that they're doing God's work as witnesses to Him. But friend, beware. Yes, beware. These cunning disciples of Satan are out to claim your soul for the lake of fire. Sure, they have a zeal which would put most truly born-again Christians to shame. But friend, don't be deceived by their devilish doctrines of no Godhead Trinity and no hell. Now before I'm accused of hindering the work of many sincere and zealous Christians, let me say that I am 100% in favor of born-again Christians preaching on the street corners, passing out tracts, and door-to-door visitations. And I enjoy this type of work myself, and I encourage it amongst others. But friends, watch out for these apostles of doom who preach from books other than the Word of God. Romans 3 and 4 declares, "Let God be true, and every man a liar." Now then, I want each and every one of you who profess to be a child of God today to ask yourself the question, can I honestly say like the Apostle Paul that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Can I honestly say that? Well, friend, if you can't honestly say that, then I believe there's something wrong. No, I don't believe that it's possible for any truly born-again child of God to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How could a Christian be ashamed of the good news of salvation? How could a Christian be ashamed of the blood of Jesus Christ? And how could a Christian deny Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord? No, friend, I don't believe it's possible. Jesus Christ himself tells us in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 33 that whosoever shall deny me before men, him also shall I deny before my Father which is in heaven. So that's it, friend. If you're a child of God, you cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And furthermore, I believe that the reason some of you refuse to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior is simply because you feel that you'd be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Listen, friend. Listen. If you were to receive Christ today, you wouldn't be able to keep your mouth shut. You'd want to tell everyone how God reached and saved your precious soul. Yes, the fear of man goes out the window when the fear of God comes into the soul. And friend, the more a Christian testifies to his soul's salvation, the stronger he becomes spiritually, and the language of his heart will be just like Paul. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Yes. And that takes in the Jews as well as the Gentiles. You know, there's a verse of Scripture over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and beginning at verse 7, here's what we read. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now then, the next statement that Paul makes in our scripture text for today is also very important and soul-searching. In this next phrase, he tells why he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For there he tells us that it is the power of God unto salvation. Oh, thank God for that. Thank God the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings is the power of God unto salvation. Friend, listen. You'll never be in God's heaven apart from experiencing the power of God in the salvation of your soul. No, man can't bring about this power because we read in John chapter 1, beginning at verse 11, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Friend, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that very moment you are born again into the family of God. You're born from above, and it's all by the power of God. Yes, it's the Holy Spirit of God which brings about conviction to the heart and soul of a sinner. And friend, you'll never experience the power of God unto salvation until you experience the power of God in conviction of sin. And that, my friend, is the hardest part in the salvation of a soul. Mankind just refuses to believe that there's no difference and that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man refuses to believe that we are all as an unclean thing and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Yes, people today refuse to believe that the blood of Jesus Christ alone can and does cleanse the sinner of all their sin in the sight of a holy God. Friend, remember this. If you don't remember anything else I say today, remember this. You'll never be saved till you realize that you're lost. After all, friend, logic itself tells us that if we're saved, we must be saved from something. And Jesus Christ declared in Luke 19:10 that the reason he came was to seek and to save that which was lost. Yes, the only people who will be in heaven will be those who realize that they deserve to be in hell and then accepted Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Now, friend, let me ask you today, whoever you are and wherever you may be listening to my voice, have you ever seen your true condition before God? Have you, my friend? Have you ever been under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God? Have you ever fully realized that you were a lost, guilty, and hell-bound sinner in God's sight? And if so, my friend, did you do anything about it? Did you? Can you honestly say that if your heart were to stop beating right now, that your soul would be in heaven? Can you, my friend? Well, friend, if you say, I hope so, or I think so, then I don't hesitate to tell you you're still on the broad road to hell, because when you're saved or born again, you know so. Yes, you know you're going to be in heaven. You know when, where, and how you were born into the family of God. Yes, you'll know Christ as your Savior. You'll know God as your Father and heaven as your future home. And friend, God gives the assurance in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, not hope so, but that ye may know that ye have, present tense, eternal life. Friend, the only claim you'll have to eternal life in heaven will be through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 9:22 we read that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. And in 1 John 1:7 we read that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now then, the next thing we notice about our text, Romans 1:16, is the fact that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And friend, the reason that salvation is available to everyone is simply because we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, we read that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Friend, the salvation which God is extending to you today is available to the entire world because we're all sinners and we all have to be saved if we ever expect to enter the kingdom of God. And furthermore, it doesn't make any difference whether you're red, yellow, black, or white, whether you're Irish, Scotch, or Polish, whether you're German or English. You could be a big sinner or a little sinner. You could be a Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, or anything else in between. Friend, Christ died for you. Yes, in Romans chapter 11 and verse 32, we read that God hath concluded them all in unbelief so that he might have mercy upon all. Again, in Romans 10 and 13, we're told that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then I think of that most memorable of all verses, John 3 and verse 16. Here the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and friend, that means you and I and everyone else, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My, what a wonderful promise we have there, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that leads us to the next point I want to make concerning our text, Romans 1 and verse 16, where Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Friend, the word of God clearly tells us that salvation is available to everyone that believeth. Now you might say, well, what am I to believe? Well, you must first of all realize that you're a sinner. You must believe there's nothing you can do to save your own soul. And then you must believe that nearly 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the old rugged cross for your sins. Friend, if you'll do that today, the Word of God says you'll be saved. Yes, the Word of God, not the speaker, but God's Word declares that you'd be saved if you believed on Jesus Christ alone as your Savior and your Lord. You recall over there in Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer spoke to Paul and Silas while they were in prison. And verse 30, here's what we read. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" And friend, in the next verse, that's Acts 16 and verse 31, the answer given by Paul and Silas that day is just as valid today. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Friend, I plead with you today, as this program comes to a close, yes, in view of eternity and in love for your soul, I plead with you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, because if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father, we ask thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Save souls to the honor and glory of thy Son, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now into our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.